Amen. What a blessing. What a blessing, Brother John Denoga. I appreciate his good singing and spirit. He reminds me of me a little bit. I've got jokes to tell later. Don't laugh when I'm serious. I'm just kidding. Brother John, thank you. I appreciate he and his wife, and they've been a blessing to our church in the little over a year that they've been here. Open your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 9 again. I want to read a little bit more of this passage of Scripture. I was thinking from the very first song, of course, the choir sang, "He is risen," but the song about grace to begin with, and then only Jesus can satisfy your soul. I'm really thankful for the worship or service coordinator that we have here at our church. He's the Holy Spirit, and I like it this morning as he has prepared our hearts for the preaching on the subject, saved by grace. And I like 2 Samuel chapter 9. Those of you that are familiar with it know it's a great story. I want to read a few more verses beginning in verse number 5 where the Bible says, "Then King David sent and fetched him." I wanted to read that verse just because of the great words that are in there. And I sort of like it when they say, "Go fetch something." I relate to that anyway. I like the vocabulary of the good book. And it says, "Out of the house of Maker, the son of Amaliel, and from Lodibar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, 'Mephibosheth,' and he answered, 'Behold thy servant.' And David said unto him, 'Fear not, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually.' And he bowed himself and said, 'What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?' And then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, 'I have given unto thy master's son all that pertain to Saul and to all his house.'" I'm going to preach this morning on the subject, saved by grace. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful and amazing life-giving book. And Lord, most of us will simply be reminded and maybe learn further of what you did for us in the day of salvation. And we will be reminded that it is of grace through faith that we have eternal life. And then, Lord, there may be those here today, they've never received the free pardon of sin. They've never received you as their Savior. I pray that today that they would. And those that are watching this service online, may you use it in that capacity as well. Fill me with your Spirit, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The most amazing story of love in the history of mankind, that's God giving his son for sinful man, is illustrated in this passage of Scripture. This is the story of King David sending his servant to get a crippled boy by the name of Mephibosheth and bringing him out of poverty and into a life of grace and into the goodness of God. There are three main characters in the story. First of all, there is King David. He is at this point the most powerful man in all of Israel, and yea, even in all of the world, as the world looked to Israel, this great and wonderful nation that God had raised up. Second of all, you have Ziba, the servant of King David. And he did all that the king requested and commanded of him to do. And I want to say this morning what a joy it is to be a servant of the king. What a joy it is to say, "Lord, behold thy servant." And that is Ziba or Ziba. I will call him both because I say it one way and then another way, but I'm talking about the same fella. How many of you say Ziba? How many of you say Ziba? None of you have children by that name, so you don't even say it unless you're reading the Bible. That's why I like to listen to the Bible on recording. One of the encouraging things is I've listened to different readers, and they say it different too, so it helps me. The third person in the character in the story is a young boy by the name of Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth. He is a crippled boy, and he is living in a place of poverty, is living in a place of destitution. And we have a story where a wealthy man asks, is there any left of the house of Saul that I can help? Now, I've experienced a little bit being a part of a story like this. I've had folks say to me, our company is putting a new roof on. Our company is putting a new air-conditioned system in. Is there anyone you know that needs a new air conditioner? And I don't have anybody today, so don't see me after the service. I haven't even had anybody invite me for lunch today. But anyway, and I've said, yes, I know somebody that would be a blessing too. What a joy it is to call somebody and say, hey, I've got a company that's putting in a new air-conditioned system, a new roof, and I noticed you might need one. What a blessing that is. Now, this is the king, King David, and he says to Ziba, is there any left of the house of Saul that I could be a blessing to for Jonathan's sake? Now, Jonathan was David's best friend and just a great friend of David. Now, I want to give you three parts to the message today as we see a beautiful story of saved by grace. First of all, I want us to look at Mephibosheth's condition. Mephibosheth's condition. First of all, there was a fearfulness in the life of Mephibosheth. From the fact that the king had made an inquiry, he didn't know. He said, are there any left? And he lived in a place that was separated from the king. It wasn't a familiar place. And may I say tonight, this morning, I'll say it again tonight, may I say this morning that if a person is in sin, they want to be away from God. They don't want to be close to God. And so he was at a place of fearfulness. And even when he is brought, the king tells him not to fear. It reminds me of when Adam had sinned in the Garden of Eden, and that sin had separated and broken that fellowship. You see, God came down in the cool of the day, and he fellowshiped with Adam and Eve, but sin separated them from their best friend, and God said, Adam, where art thou? And so that's the picture that we see. Mephibosheth is living in a difficult place, and he is living in fear. Sin never brings courage. Sin never brings boldness. It just brings a foolish behavior, and Ziba is living in fear. Second of all, he is in a place of destitution. Now, names of towns carry meanings, and if you look up the definition for the name Maker or Macker, the town M-A-C-H-I-R, and Lodibar, you'll find that they have meanings. And the name Macker means sold. It means sold. Sold because it was a place that was not desired by others. So it was sold. It was a place that meant sold. And Lodibar, interestingly, it means a place of no bread or the place of no pasture. It is a place of destitution, a place of no bread, a place that is sold, nothing and no bread to eat. This is a picture of the sinner in his sin without God. Paul wrote to the Christians at Rome in Romans 7:14. He talked about the fact, I am sold under sin. Those that are without Christ are under the condemnation. They are under the control of sin and Satan. There is no satisfaction within. There is no joy. You see, if you have no bread, you have no satisfaction. If you have no bread, there's no joy. There is no peace within. And may I say, a sinner without God can play any worldly game that he wants to play. He can take any tonic that the world has to offer. He can listen to any lie that Satan has to tell. But friend, without God, he is in Maker. He is sold. He's in Lodibar. He is in the place of no bread. And as Brother John just sang, it's true, only Jesus can satisfy your soul. That's where you and I were when we were without Christ. It didn't matter the value of our house or shoes. It didn't matter the value of our car or our bank account. We were sold under sin. He was in a place of fear. He was in a place of destitution. He was like the prodigal son that gone into the far country. Think about this. When he went to the far country, no doubt he went just not only for pleasure, he probably went for success. And he found out that there was some success, but that success was on the back of those that were broken. Isn't that just what the world does? The success of the world is built on the backs of those that are broken and sold unto sin. And the prodigal son, he was down there slopping the hogs. He was feeding the swine, the Bible said, and that's where sin had taken him. That's where I was when I was in my sin. That's where you were when you're in your sin, sold under sin, and in a place of no satisfaction, a place of no pasture, a place of no bread. And then we see, last of all, about Mephibosheth. He was in a condition of helplessness. He could not help himself. The Bible said that he was crippled. And if you read the story of what happened in 2 Samuel chapter 4, verse number 4, you'll find that there was a battle, there was a war, and his maid, his caregiver, his babysitter, if you will, was fleeing for their life, and she fell. He fell and broke his legs, and as a result of that, he was crippled. May I tell you, when Adam sinned, it is called the fall of Adam or the fall of man. And that's exactly what happened to you and I. We were under the condemnation of sin because of the fall of Adam in the Garden of Eden. Are you with me this morning? He was in a place of helplessness. He could not go anywhere. He could not get anywhere. He could not help himself. He was like the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse number 6, he was without strength. He was without hope. And may I say today, while the church sits and waits for the sinner to come, that's not the instruction given in the Bible. The Bible is given instruction for the Christian to go to the sinner. Hey, the King is calling for you to come. You understand, this world in sin. They're in a place of destitution. They're in a place of helplessness. They're in a place that is sold under sin. They're living in fear. That is the condition of sin. That's the condition of the sinful man, fallen and condemned to death under the sentence of sin. I'm glad that's not where the story ends. I'm glad that's where the story begins. Second of all, I want you to notice the request of the king. Oh, I like this. The request of the king. In the king's request, we see a picture of the love of God for mankind. King David wanted to show kindness to the house of Saul for Jonathan's sake. Think about it. For Jonathan's sake. Think with me. Saul was David's prior enemy. Dead now, but was his enemy. For 14 years, David had to flee from King Saul. You see, Saul had sinned against God. And God had chosen David to be his replacement, yet it was 14 years from the time of choosing to the time of David sitting on the throne. And in Saul's jealousy, he attempted to kill David, and David had to run from Saul. His friends encouraged him to kill Saul when he had the opportunity. But he said, I can't touch God's anointed. I'll let God take care of him. But Saul was his sworn enemy. He tried in public and private to take David's life. Saul was the enemy of God. But listen to these words. David, for the sake of Saul's son Jonathan, who was the dear friend of David, asked if there was anyone of the house of Saul. Do you know why you and I are invited to come to God? It is for Christ's sake. Isn't that a beautiful picture? He said, I want to do this for Jonathan, Saul's son. Ah, dear friend, it is through the Son of God that we can have eternal life. 1 John chapter 5, this is the record that God hath given of His Son, that in Him is eternal life. It is for Christ's sake that we receive an invitation of the gospel. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. You see, everything or anything God has ever done, is doing, or will do, He has done, is doing, or will do through His Son, Jesus Christ. From the creation of the world to the coming of the Savior to the judge who will come, that is the person of Christ. And some may say, well, I worship God just in a different way than you do. Well, according to this book, you can't get to God any other way than through Jesus Christ. And when Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going and we don't know how to get there, he told him, I'm going to heaven and I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. You're not saved through the church. You're not saved through religion. You're not born again by turning over a new leaf. If you're saved, if you're born again, you're born again and saved through the precious person and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is through His Son. It is for Christ's sake. The love of God is to show us kindness for Christ's sake. It's interesting to note that His love was, I'll use the word, spontaneous. It was a voluntary impulse of a kind and merciful heart. Here's what He said. Is there any of the house of Saul? Would that not be a synonym to whosoever? He didn't say, are there any white males 14 to 20? He didn't say that. He said, is there any? It could have been a boy, it could have been a girl, it could have been a man or a woman. It would have been one of the two. Because there are only two. Unless you've been educated beyond your intelligence, that's what the Bible says. He said, is there any, I like it, is there any of the house of Saul? He might be 2 years old, he might be 20 years old, he may be 90 years old. Hey, he may be a good fella, he may be a bad fella. He may be a crook, he may be a businessman, or the same. He may be a bad fella or a good fella. He didn't say what kind. He said, is there any? I want to show him kindness for his son's sake, for Jonathan's sake. He said, is there any? And dear friend, I declare to you today what the Bible says. The Bible said, for whosoever, doesn't matter what color your skin is. It doesn't matter what nation you came from. It doesn't matter who your parents were. It doesn't matter what your sins are. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Excuse me while I get excited this morning. It is whosoever. He said, is there any of the house of Saul? That's what the question was. By the way, I want to point out, it is God that takes the first step toward man's redemption. Now, I'm going to sidestep just a little bit. I hear talk today about seeker-friendly churches. And what that means is we want to be worldly so the world can feel comfortable when they come here. But when I read the Bible, the only person seeking is not the sinner, but it's the Savior. I don't find the lamb looking for the shepherd. I find the shepherd looking for the lamb. Is that not what the Bible says? Mephibosheth said, it wasn't Mephibosheth asking, is there a king that would adopt me? It was the king saying, is there anybody that I can adopt for the sake of Saul's son, Jonathan? That's what the Bible says. The church is not supposed to be seeker-friendly or using that as a term to be worldly. Hey, the church is supposed to be spiritual. We set it up like the king's house. What magnifies the king? And then first step of man's redemption was the king sought him. God seeks man. I want you to notice also his love was gracious. He sought out the undeserving. He didn't say anything about where he lived. He was offering favor not just to a friend, but to an enemy. Saul's son. He's not saying, hey, I've got some friends that have been loyal to me in the time that I've been king. He didn't say that. He said, I want to know if there's any left of the house of Saul that I can bless him for his son Jonathan's sake. He wasn't choosy in that. It didn't matter. He reached the undeserving. And David's servant Ziba carried to the poor cripple the news of the king's love and intent. I could get carried away here, but I just want you to think. Lodibar, the place of no bread, the place of no pasture. When I grew up, we lived in the right-hand fork of Spencer Fork. There was no blacktop on the road. There was gravel every 4 years during election year. We knew the typical normal traffic. We knew the neighbor's truck, or we knew the neighbor's horse, whatever they were riding or mode of transportation. I remember, and I'm not going into all those stories. But if a car came driving up the holler, H-O-L-L-O-W, properly pronounced holler, we saw a clean car, Buick, coming up the road. I can see my grandmother looking out the window. John would say, who is it, Edney? She would say, I don't know, but they're from out of town. You could tell, first of all, they had a clean car. And they were driving slow. I can see them both standing there looking to see who it was. Can you imagine down in Lodibar that day? Friend, it wasn't a white Buick, but it was the king's chariot. Who is that coming up the road down there? Mephibosheth, can you see that? Can you see Mephibosheth lean over in his bed, pull himself over that crippled boy, look out the window, and he's, wow, that's the king's chariot. Why don't we think about our salvation again so we can overcome our difficulties by rejoicing in the delivery of our soul from hell. Hey, it was the king that came looking for us. His love was gracious. It reminds me of what the Bible says in Romans 10. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. They may not have understood, but every door we knocked on this week, every porch we walked upon, every driveway we entered, we had a message not from the church. We had a message from the king to say, hey, the king's looking for you. His love was also self-sacrificing. Look at verse number 9. Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. I'm glad when he saved me, I got everything. I'm glad when he saved me, I became a child of the king. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter that I am, here's what it says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I'm glad this morning for the love of God. Now let me give you the faith of Mephibosheth. You understand Christ died for the whole world, but the whole world is not saved. Jesus died for whosoever. He died for everyone, but not everyone is born again. It's only those that receive him as Savior. It's only those that believe in him. It's only those that say, yes, Lord, I accept your offer of eternal life. I put my faith and trust in you. I'm trusting in you to take me to heaven. Not my deeds, my works, my person, my memberships, nothing. I'm trusting in you. And I want you to notice what the Bible says about Mephibosheth. First of all, the Bible tells us that he believed the message. That he believed the message. He didn't say to Ziba, you're pulling my leg. I don't believe you. No, it's true. The king wants you to come. He wants you to come to his house. Ziba believed. Ziba believed. It is hard, listen, it's hard to believe that the God of heaven gave his son to forgive your sins and mine, but that's exactly what he did. He said, I'll forgive you of your every sin. I'll forgive you of every transgression. I'll forgive you of every iniquity. I will give to you eternal life. That is the offer of the king. And thank God, Mephibosheth believed it. Verse number 6, the Bible said he was come unto David. Then I noticed that he humbled himself. Dear friend, I do not understand how any thinking, Bible reading Christian can be filled with pride to understand who we were and what we were, and the king brought us in, and we're saved not because of who we are, we're saved because of the love of the king. He said, is there any of the house of Saul? And God said, whosoever will. And he humbled himself before the king. And he said, sir, why would you do this for just a dead dog as I am? Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1, the Bible says this, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. He went from a dead dog to a living heir to the throne. And I went from a dead Christian, quickened in Christ, to becoming a child of the king. He was right. He said, I'm but a dead dog. He said, that's what you were. You're not anymore. I was but a dead sinner on my way to hell. That's what you were. Now I'm a child of the king. You see, my father is rich in houses and lands. He holds all the wealth of the world in his hands of silver and gold. His coffers are full. He has riches untold. And I'm a child of the king. By the way, he was accepted. Look at verse number 7. And David said unto him, fear not. Why would he fear? He would fear because he was wonder, is this really true? Can I become the son of a king? Can I receive the adoption? Is this really true? And the father said to him, you don't have to fear anymore. Fear is the condition of sin, and that fear is vanished in the presence of salvation. He was accepted in the sight of the Father. There is no need to fear anymore. I'm glad tonight I can go to bed and have no fear that if I die in my sleep, hey, death is but the first step into eternity. Death is the first step into eternal life. I'm glad that there is no fear in my soul. And that's not based on anything I've done, but it's what the king just said to me. The king said, fear not. Then I want you to notice he was adopted. Look at verse number 11. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. He was adopted. I want you to think of this. Look at the king's table. I'm looking at the food. You see it? And you see that beautiful white tablecloth? And you see the king down here, and you see all of his sons? You see, can you see that tablecloth, and we're pulled up to the table? Do you know which one's crippled? Can you see which one's crippled? No, sir. You can't tell which one's crippled because we're all pulled up to the table. And, dear friend, his tablecloth of mercy covers my infirmity. And I'm glad that when I die, I don't take this old body with me that's failed, that fails God, and it's frail and feeble. But when I get to heaven, I get a new body. Yesterday, as we had the body of Sonny Sibley, he said to me in the last few months, he said, don't pray that I get better. My body's worn out. I want to go home. I want to go to heaven. Dear friend, one of the concerns and the burden he had was the body that he had. But dear friend, when he comes out of the grave, he'll come out of there immortal because we get a new body. Not only was he adopted, he was made heir. Look at verse number 7. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul. You see, everything I lost in sin, I gained it back when I became a son of God. You know what the Bible says? Stand with me. I've got to stop preaching. It's lunchtime. I can tell some of you are hungry. He was made an heir. You know what that meant? You don't just get to eat here today. You have become joint heir of all that the king owns. I and you are joint heirs with Christ. Aren't you glad this morning we're saved by grace? What a beautiful picture that we see of the king saying, is there any? He didn't know his name, didn't know what town he lived in, didn't know if he was male or female, rich or poor. He didn't know. Is there any? And I wonder today, is there any here today that you hear the invitation of the Savior to trust him? You've never done that before. You ought to say, I'll receive him as my Savior. I'll accept the invitation to trust Christ. Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonderful grace of salvation. And I pray that today, if there's one here today that doesn't know you as Savior, they would trust you as Savior. And then I pray, Lord, for those that are born again. It was some 54 years ago that I trusted you as Savior, that I revisit and have the joy stirred in my soul again of what you've done for me. Help us in our invitation today to make decisions that should be made. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The altar is open as he sings invitation.